Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hey, you know what? I'm not even reading an intro. Hey, I'm here with Royce Young. My name's Fred. Royce has 20 minutes. It is 2:01 a.m. in Orlando. It's 1:01 a.m. in Oklahoma City. I don't even have my microphone with me. I'm using my computer. But I promised on the last episode, on Friday's episode, that if something crazy happened and there needed to be an emergency episode, that we would do the emergency episode. And now it's so emergency that Royce hasn't even had time to turn off his phone. There are text messages.
I'm so embarrassed.
Because the Thunder just got, unofficially, but officially enough to warrant an emergency podcast, the Thunder just acquired Paul George, and they sent Victor Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis, nothing else, to the Indiana Pacers. Royce, you see Ramona Shelburne broke the deal. Mm-hmm. Ramona's just breaking everything lately. She's quite good.
It's like she's good at this stuff.
It's almost like Ramona Shelburne is a good reporter.
Yeah.
First reaction. You see Thunder get Paul George. First reaction.
Obviously stunned. I mean, that's the only reaction I think that is reasonable, is that you're just jaw drops and you're like, you know. Yeah, I mean, the first thing you have to say is for Russell Westbrook? like that, you know, like who did they trade? Did they trade Westbrook for George? It's been something that, you know, I think we probably both know, Fred, that it's been something the Thunder have been, you know, they've been trying to get involved in these talks. It's no big secret that they tried to get in talks for Jimmy Butler. They tried to get in talks for Paul George. I mean, Sam Presti is after these deals, just like any other GM in the league is after these deals. It's stunning that this is the one that happened, and this is the one that the Pacers took. And I don't know what necessarily the reasoning is coming out of Indiana, what Kevin Pritchard necessarily sees. You know, I do think you talk to a lot of people, you know, you talk to the same people I do around the league, Fred. You know, there's a lot of people that are really high on Domantas Sabonis. I mean, I personally am really high on him. I think he's going to be a really good player.
Yeah, you think he's Chris Bosh?
Yeah, apparently. Well, I take it all back now.
he's going to be good too. A good
player. You know, I think in the Eastern Conference, with it a little bit diluted, maybe as the primary player, maybe, you know, Oladipo gets, you know, is a fringe all-star next year. I don't know. But for Paul George, the catch to all of this that everybody has to kind of keep repeating is that this is 1 year of Paul George, 1 year guaranteed of Paul George. So in that regard, I don't think the Pacers can feel that bad about what they got back. It's just when you hear about the other options that they had, it makes you scratch your head and say, why did they take this one?
Right. I mean, you get Adam – is it Himmelsbach? Is that how you pronounce his last name?
Let's just say Adam H.
I think it's Himmelsbach. I read his stuff, and I've met him, and he's a really good reporter, and he does a great job. But I only read his stuff, so I wasn't 100% on his name. I've only met him a couple of times, but he does a great job. And he wrote a whole piece, you know, shortly after the deal. He tweeted out maybe at 1 a.m. or something like that. You know, he wrote that the Celtics had offered at the trade deadline, they had offered a massive package for Paul George that included the Nets 2017 pick, which ended up being the number one overall pick in this draft, included other draft picks as well. And they end up doing this deal for Victor Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis. Now, I wrote a piece like 11 or 12 days ago just about the Thunder's role in the Paul George saga. And it was right after Woj had reported that Aaron Mintz, his agent, had gone to the Pacers and told their management that he wasn't going to be resigning there and he wanted to go to the Lakers when he becomes a free agent in 2018.
Right.
And I wrote that piece and I spoke to some people around the league before I wrote it and was like, okay, well, if the Thunder were going to get Paul George, obviously there's a less than 50% chance of this happening. But if the Thunder were going to get Paul George, what's the route? Like, what is the most realistic route? Not necessarily even from like a who are the best players they can give up, but is there something I'm not thinking of? And someone suggested to me that if it's going to happen, they think, and this is not someone from the Pacers or the Thunder, it's an executive that works for another team. But this person told me that if the Pacers are going to do a deal, it would probably be Victor Oladipo, because the Pacers are the type of organization that would value that Oladipo is a guy who played at Indiana. You know, they always, you know, Larry Bird's not there anymore. So that's one thing you have to consider when you talk about like the draft picks that were turned down in, you know, the draft picks that were turned down earlier in the year. Like that was done when Larry Bird was there. And this is a different front office. And that's, I think, something that at least has to be factored into the conversation when you're having this sort of conversation. But Larry Bird would openly say, can't tank in Indiana. And they were always searching for ways. You know, the Pacers have always done these weird things where they worry about attendance and they worry about fan appeal.
Right.
So I wouldn't be – and I know you tweeted this out too. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not saying that's the reason they made the deal, but I wouldn't be
it
surprised.
It had to have some influence.
Yeah, I wouldn't be clearly, surprised if that had some influence. And like you tweeted as well, like they must have been – they must be really high on Sabonis. They have to be.
The thing is with the Indiana connection, I think it's something like that, you know, it's a fine thing to say. And, you know, I mean, I think it had some level of influence, but like previous to this trade, when, you know, Paul George scenarios would get bandied about here in Oklahoma City on talk radio and everything else. Of course, everybody fantasized about Paul George, you know, when you hear he's an available star on the market, Sam Presti included. And you know, you throw out something like, well, maybe they want Oladipo. He played basketball in Indiana, you know, and it's like a thing that you, like a fan kind of says to just like connect some dots and like maybe, apparently it meant something to the Pacers. I mean, it had to. And look, let's not undersell the fact Victor Oladipo is a very good basketball player. I mean,
he's good.
He's a good player. And like I said, Sabonis, I think, has a lot of potential.
And I think Oladipo is going to look like a better player next year too.
I think so too, and I think you tweeted this, Fred. You know that when the Thunder inked Oladipo to that extension last fall, you know that was before he had, you know, played any games for the Thunder, you know, considerable amount of games for the Thunder. And I think that they had a vision of the player that he would fit alongside Westbrook, and I think Oladipo did fine alongside Westbrook. But look, playing alongside Russ takes a very assertive type of player, and Oladipo is not that, and he's not the kind of, you know, when Oladipo was on the floor alongside Westbrook, he was essentially just a 3-and-D guard, and he was very good at it, very good on the ball defender, very good spot up shooter, had a very solid efficient season, but not, you know, not the type of player that you commit $21 million a year next to take your team with Westbrook to another level. I don't think Oladipo was ever going to take that leap. And then you saw the way he performed in the playoffs. Look, when they acquired Victor Oladipo, the plan for him was sixth man. That was the vision they had. They thought that they were getting the guy that could kind of be the replacement to James Harden that they had been desperately looking for a long time. And they were going to re-sign Durant, have Westbrook, then hopefully sign Al Horford, and they had Oladipo off the bench. And they were going to have this just stacked roster. Then Durant leaves and none of that comes to fruition. And suddenly Oladipo's starting alongside Westbrook. That was just never the vision for Oladipo. But I think what Presti shrewdly did in making that deal is now he put assets in his pocket that he was able to flip around for a player like Paul George.
There are so many ripples to this. Like there are so many, even other teams. Like, don't you wonder? So Minnesota just traded Ricky Rubio for the Thunder's pick.
Right.
Do you think that they would do this deal if they the next day, if they knew that that pick was going to be a team that now has Russell Westbrook and Paul George and could potentially be in the final five picks of the first round?
That's a great question.
Do you think Minnesota did that deal thinking, okay, there's a chance this pick is inside the top 20?
Yeah.
Well, it couldn't be a lottery pick because
it's lottery protected. Isn't it? Yeah.
But it could be somewhere between 14 and 20.
Right. I mean, I think that just – the whole breakdown of the trade is a really fascinating deal overall. And like you said, Fred, just now, like, I mean, it extrapolates out to a number of different areas. You know, one of my favorite theories to think about right now already is that Paul George is coming to Oklahoma City so he can recruit Russell Westbrook to the Lakers next summer. Like, I love that idea. That Westbrook's not going to sign any extension and they both can now hit free agency together and go to the Lakers. I mean, and you know, honestly, that's a real situation that could happen. The Lakers will likely have double max cap space next summer, or close to it. And that could be something that happens, but I think you talk to people around the Thunder already. And I think that they feel like that they have as good a shot at re-signing Paul George as anybody else. They think it's a fit. Of course, that's the way they're going to feel. They're going to have a level of confidence here. But look, the reality is Paul George is going to hit free agency next summer. And, how do the Thunder get back to where they were? That's the fundamental question Sam Presti is asking. We have Russell Westbrook. How do we get back to where we were when we had Durant and Westbrook? The answer to that never included free agency. It just wasn't going to happen. First of all, the Thunder, we're going to have a hard time getting to the cap space necessary. But also, it's just free agents don't sign in Oklahoma City. So the next thing you could do was trade for one. And if they were never going to get a meeting with Paul George, but now, next summer, they're going to have a meeting with Paul George because he's an existing player on their roster. And what they've tried to do is get a running head start into his recruitment for free agency. And they're just going to hope that they can knock his socks off this summer or this season.
You know what's a pretty good running head start? Being able to offer him more money than any other team.
Right. Which here's something else that got floated me tonight by somebody in the league. There's a good chance the Thunder are going to be good next year, right?
So yeah, there's a very good chance.
There's a good chance that Paul George is going to make an All-NBA team next summer.
And then they're going to be able to offer him the DPE.
Exactly. So I have to think that that's part of the mindset here.
Yeah. No, for sure. I mean, that was always part of it with the Pacers. It was the Pacers could have taken – I mean, obviously, this wasn't the way it was going to work out. But part of something that factored into the Pacers' mentality throughout all of this is, okay, even if Paul George doesn't make an All-NBA team in 2017, we could just wait it out and see what happens the following season and offer him the DPE and free agency the following year. And is he really going to turn down $50, $60 million in free agency just to go elsewhere? It turns out the answer, probably yes, which is why they ended up having to deal him. But at the time, that was kind of their mentality throughout all of this. You know, with the Thunder, I'm putting the chances of him re-signing with Oklahoma City, it's certainly less than 50%. I mean,
yeah, I would say as of right now today, I'd put it at like 25% or less.
It's not a good percentage. I don't know what it is, but it's not a good percentage, and it's something that I will reach out about, not at 2 a.m. because that's when you piss people off. But I'll do it.
You just texting me? You up?
I don't care if I piss you off. I don't care if I booty call you to my podcast. Royce, you went on ESPN today without wearing pants. I don't need to.
What am I supposed to wear? A full suit?
You could. I love that.
Walk around my house in a full suit.
I laughed so hard when
the funny thing is, SVP asked me that same question like months ago. I feel like it was a year ago. I'm surprised he remembered. And like, I remember sitting there and he was like, last question for you. Are you wearing pants or something like that? And I remember like kind of being caught off guard and not really having an answer. And so like, I was sitting there like, and I pulled a Costanza afterwards and I was like, oh, I should have told him, what gives you the assumption that I'm wearing pants, anything, I was like thinking, and Carrie was like, that's a terrible idea. I'm glad you didn't say that. So then tonight, like, then I just totally blow it and basically just say I'm naked, but.
What you should have done is you should have just flashed the camera.
Just stood up.
It would have been an amazing – just stood up, done one leg dry hump, and then you'd be good to go. That would have been like an amazing – you may not be employed at ESPN anymore, but that would be an amazing way to go out.
Worth it.
That would be – you would somehow steal the night from both Paul George and Woj.
That would have been great. Would have been fantastic.
So what do you make of this team now? Like what's – I'm going to ask you the same iconic question. Okay, before I ask you the Russell Westbrook question of what's next,
right.
I'm just going to ask you that in relation to Russell Westbrook. I mean, so everybody knows Russell Westbrook is eligible now. We're recording this on July 1st after midnight. Russell Westbrook is now eligible to sign a contract extension with the Thunder that would pay him more than any other team could offer him in free agency in 2018. He could lock up the largest possible amount of money that he can make in 2018. He could lock it up right now if he wanted to. He could do it at this very second. He technically couldn't do it at this very second, but he could come to an agreement in principle and then do it in 5 days when the moratorium is up. But he could at least come to the agreement in principle on this extension. And the Paul George move, you have to imagine, is one, if they think there's absolutely no way Russell Westbrook is signing it, then the Paul George move is not one that would be intuitive to make. Why would you make a rental in a win now move if you think your best player is just going to force his way out? The impression that I get is that the Thunder are – they don't think it's a done deal, but they're feeling good about Westbrook coming back. And I'm wondering what you think the Paul George move says and what you think about how they handle it without having the absolute 100% consent that Westbrook is signing that extension.
Yeah, I mean, I think that – look, it's a complex issue, and I think it's far more complex today than it was even a week ago because, you know, you talk to people around Westbrook or around the Thunder about their perspective on what Westbrook was going to do, and a large – optimism in the fact that he was going to do it was that Westbrook's was going to put his name on this to give the Thunder a plan going forward, right? That's what a lot of people felt like needed to happen, was Westbrook's going to sign this extension right away. So that way the Thunder know that, hey, we've got Russell Westbrook for 5 years, and now here's what we can do with that, armed with that knowledge, right? So that kind of got blown out of the water tonight, but with Paul George coming. Now it's like Paul George is here, and, you know, the roadmap is got some bends in it, I guess you could say. So I don't know. Obviously, like you said, Fred, I think that the Thunder don't make this move if they're sitting there, like, you know, crossing their fingers that Russell Westbrook's going to stay for the long term. They have to feel a level of confidence. I don't know that they necessarily feel extremely confident that he's signing this extension right now. It's kind of like you're trying to align all the parameters to this, because on one hand, Westbrook could sign that extension right now and basically send a message to Paul George of, like, hey, I'm here, dude. Like, you know, you want to stick around and be part of this? But then they could both be saying, well, let's see how this works. Let's see, you know, if this goes well. Paul George is obviously not signing the extension available to him right now. He's going to wait till next summer. But Westbrook could kind of put his foot down and kind of, you know, throw the first thing out there and send a strong message. So I don't know. I don't get a sense, and from the conversations I've had in the wake of this Paul George deal, I don't really get a sense that this strengthens the case one way or the other. Personally, maybe you're different than me. I don't know really where this puts the conversations with Westbrook at this point. I think it makes it less likely that he's going to do it right away, like in terms of like in the next, you know, 25 minutes. Like, I think that it was maybe as of a week ago.
I hope it doesn't come in the next 25 minutes, because this podcast is going to be so outdated.
Right.
And none of this will be worth it.
Wouldn't be the first time it's happened to us.
No.
But I mean, I think that this makes it more likely that Westbrook might wait around until, you know, July 14th to just put the thing down. You know, Westbrook's kind of a do things on his own time kind of person. You know, he's not like,
is he really? I never noticed that. He's like that.
As you stand there and watch him get dressed for 48 minutes waiting for a postgame? Yeah,
Remember when he had that stretch when he would come over during media – during like when we had like scrums with the media? Remember when he had that stretch where every single time he came over, he would bend over and then untie and retie his shoelaces just to make us wait?
I also liked when he would just like have a basketball under his arm and he'd just dribble it really loudly. Mm-hmm. Like, you just start dribbling it. I don't know why.
Well, in his defense, he's good with a basketball.
Yeah.
The ball's his friend, I heard.
He's better with the ball in his hands than not.
This is how much the Thunder have consumed my entire life. I was watching the movie Castaway. I assume you've seen Castaway.
Of course.
I was watching Castaway the other day, and I'm sitting there and I'm watching Tom Hanks with Wilson, and all I could think about was Russell's rant about him saying that the ball is his friend and Spalding and Wilson are his friend. And that's just all I could think about as Tom Hanks talked to a volleyball the entire time. So the Thunder have completely taken over my life. How do you see Paul George and Russell Westbrook meshing together?
I think it'll be an excellent partnership personally.
I think it's going to work too.
There's a lot of similarities between Durant and Paul George, don't you think? I mean, like, they're kind of similar players.
You know what? It's funny because you look at the Thunder's roster from this past year, and whether you're saying it in a serious sense or whether you're saying it in kind of a snarky one, they had a ton of specialists. And the reason that they had so many specialists is because this roster was built to have a ball-dominant, great scoring and facilitating point guard, and then a ball-dominant, great scoring and facilitating big wing. and they were missing the big wing through probably no fault of their own, or at least
right.
they prepared. They thought they were going to have him, and then he left to in an unexpected move for them. And when Durant leaves, they're missing the thing the entire team is built around, you know? Right. And Paul George is not as good as Kevin Durant. Only LeBron James, in my opinion, is as good as Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and act like Paul George is Kevin Durant. He's just similar.
But there are three guys who you can say can do what Kevin Durant does, can be in a role that Kevin Durant is in. LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, and Paul George. Mm-hmm. Those are the three guys in terms of the actual role, in terms of the size and the defense and the versatility on both sides of the ball and the scoring, the shooting, all that stuff. I mean, Paul George has become a really good shooter. He had a really good shooting season this year. He's an improved passer. He's an improved ball handler. When he first came up, that was always his issue. His ball handling, his facilitating, he's much better at that than he was 4 or 5 years ago. I mean, he's a tremendous, tremendous player, probably a top 12 player in the league. I think you can argue he's a top 10 player in the league. He's an unbelievable defensive player, and he's always a great playoff performer. I mean, they got swept out of the first round this year. It wasn't his fault. He was great. I mean, he's consistently a great playoff performer. He's an unbelievable defensive player, three-time all-defense. So I think this is going to be – I think it'll be a really good fit, not just for Westbrook. I think it's a really good fit for the roster. Like now, even the smaller stuff, like the organization has always believed that Andre Robertson is best fit as a two-guard playing next to a big wing. Well, now they've got it. Like they were not thrilled about Robertson moving to small forward this year. I think they were extremely impressed with the way that Robertson handled it and the defensive season that he had. I think he improved tremendously and did a lot of things. They didn't realize – they knew he could do them, and they knew he could do them well, but they didn't realize how well he could do them. Like, I don't think they realized how good he would be guarding big wings like Kawhi and LeBron and all that stuff, and how competent he was in guarding all – even Giannis, how competent he was guarding all those guys. But I think they'd be excited. And they shed $4 million of salary in this deal. I think it would be intuitive if that money just helped to re-sign Robertson. Right?
That's what I was going
to
ask you, Fred, is that like, I wouldn't say that this makes it a lock because, I mean, you got to see what kind of offer sheet comes in for Robertson, and it still might be too high for the Thunder to want to match it. But like, to me, this greatly, greatly improves the chances that they re-sign Andre Robertson.
I agree. It just makes sense. He makes more sense on the roster today than he did yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, and the other, I mean, it's just like, and plus now you're looking at like, what other mechanisms do you have to continue to add to your team? You're back to where you kind of were with Durant on the roster, where it's like, you're operating over the salary cap. You're going to have a large portion of it committed to two players, really three players, with Steven Adams. So it's like, you know, how do you really build a team? Well, you keep the existing pieces you have and you kind of recycle them over time. I think the thing is that the hang up I think the Thunder have with Robertson is he's a very valuable player to, like you said, to a team that he fits on, but what kind of trade value does he have in the league? And even if you get him at a really good number, let's say you get him at something surprising, it's $7 million a year, is he still a highly tradable player? I don't know. I think there's like five teams in the league that would really value Andre Robertson. So I think that that's the interesting thing. I also think it might be kind of interesting to wonder, does this change their perspective on Taj Gibson as well? Like, you know, because as it stands right now, who's the Thunder starting small or power forward? I guess Jeremy Grant. I guess he's probably starting a power forward if they played a game tomorrow.
But if they do bring back Andre Robertson, can you imagine the defensive potential of lineups with Westbrook, Robertson, George, Grant, and Adams?
I mean, that's like length on length on.
They could. I mean, they were top 10 defense this year. Paul George is a tremendous defensive player.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
He is a fantastic defender on the ball, off the ball. He's extremely high effort. I mean, I think because of the way that Paul George kind of handled that final year in Indiana, with the way he kind of called out teammates at times and the way he obviously put the organization on the spot, I think because he was a little outwardly disgruntled, people have kind of taken away the fact that he has a high motor and he plays hard for the most part, and there are times where he cruises through the regular season. But it's weird. When a guy who doesn't have a championship cruises through the regular season, they have an effort issue. After they get the championship, it's, oh, they know how to make it through the regular season. They know you can't go 100% the whole time. LeBron is just pacing himself. You know?
When so let me ask you this,
before Fred. He had the championship, he had a motor issue. So I don't, I'm not convinced Paul George has a motor issue. That guy goes hard on defense all the time. I think he's, I think it's going to be a great fit. Yes, ask what you were going to ask.
Well, you touched on a point that I'm curious about. Paul George is a pretty candid player. I mean, like you said, he had some moments last year where he said some interesting things to the media very publicly. That doesn't really fit in with the Thunder philosophy, I think, in terms of public relations. And especially with this year, with the rumors that are going to circle and everything that's going to follow around Paul George, how do you see that playing out? How do you see that fit with Paul George in Oklahoma City?
Well, the Thunder shield their guys from the media probably is as well as any other organization in the league.
I'm not anticipating a lot of one-on-ones with Paul George is what I'm saying.
Well, maybe we can I'm expecting as many one-on-ones with Paul George as I have with Russell Westbrook this year. I think that'll be about the same.
I mean, I just
No, I'm with you.
The whispering about Los Angeles is going to persist through the whole season. I mean, that is going to, unless Paul George is able to figure out a way to kind of squash it and get out in front of it. But just based on his past history, he's not a guy that is, you know, I don't want to say extremely diplomatic with what he's saying, but like, I think that Paul George is not afraid to kind of say what he's thinking. And, I don't know. I see that as maybe being a prevailing storyline throughout the season. And it could be something kind of interesting. For us, it's fantastic. I mean, holy cow. You know, I'm imagining the fun stories and the fun shoot arounds and practices that we're going to be a part of. I think it could, because Paul George, I haven't been around him a ton. When I worked at CBS, I covered the two Eastern Conference Finals that the Pacers, they were in two of them, right?
They were in two of them, yeah.
Right. I covered both of those. And so I was around Paul George, and it was the first one that I covered. Like, it was before he had kind of exploded as a star. It was kind of like, hey, this Paul George guy is really good. And like, I remember I just had a short conversation with him after one of their shoot-arounds. And like, I walked away from it and I was like, man, I am a Paul George fan for life. Like, that guy is just, he has got it. He is smart. He's savvy. And so like, personally, I'm really excited to get to be around him and maybe get to know him a little bit.
Before we go, because it's late and we both.
Well, is the Thunder's first, I haven't paid any attention. Is the Thunder's first summer league game tomorrow?
Yeah, it is.
Well, it's going to be awkward for Domantas Sabonis in the starting lineup.
I went on with the franchise at like 1:30 in the morning, and Jerry Ramsey, who has been on this podcast before.
Oh, you let him on? Oh,
yeah, man. I let him on. I let him on once. He then did it like while he was doing house chores.
Oh my gosh!
I could hear him like clanging dishes. I was like, Jerry, this is why I don't let you on.
You should have just Matt Damon'd him. Like, Jerry, like, all right, we got Jerry Ramsey, and we don't have.
I should have. I asked Jerry asked me when I came on. Well, the big question here, Fred, what are the Thunder going to do about their starting power forward spot at Summer League tomorrow?
Well, it is a pertinent question.
I told him, Jerry, you know as well as I do, they're going to walk right up to Rashawn Thomas and they're going to say, "This is your time."
This is your team now, buddy.
This is your moment now, season.
I just think that the Thunder took a huge hit in summer league, and I mean, it's going to be tough for them to kind of restructure and regroup, because I mean, their roster tomorrow is going to be a lot less talented than it was yesterday.
That was the struggle with making the deal. That's why the Thunder put it off.
Yeah, that's they wanted to wait till after summer league was over.
So before we wrap up. What do you see next? Not from Westbrook. We talked about Westbrook.
Sure.
We talked about George. We talked about possibilities of re-signing Robertson. And we even talked a little about Oladipo and Sabonis. But this roster's not done. I mean, we talked, there's still a little bit of a hole at power forward, which is weird, because they have so many bigs. And yet, there's still kind of a hole. I guess they have one fewer big now with Sabonis gone. But they still feels like they have bigs minutes to go around, but there still feels like a hole. The power forward, I guess Grant is your starting power forward, but that's not an above average starting power forward, right? Unless Jeremy Grant makes a big leap or something like that next year. I think for now, he's like a solid defender off the bench and certainly a rotation player and someone that can help. But I don't know if he's somebody that you want at that, especially in a lineup that's still somewhat devoid of 3-point shooting around. They need a backup point guard still. They could use another wing, some kind of creator. What do you see them doing? They have the mid-level exception. They have that Ilyasova. I think they're going to use the Ilyasova trade exception.
I think it makes a lot of sense too. Absolutely.
It does.
And I think that they're – I mean, this is just me kind of wildly speculating. I think Enes Kanter is somebody that they're still thinking about moving just because of the cap number that he has and what you could kind of repurpose that for. You know, I mean, we all know that, you know, David Aldridge reported that they're interested in Zach Randolph. I don't really see that happening personally. You know, there's definitely – they're definitely interested in Rudy Gay. They're for sure, looking at that. And I think that they want to solidify, you know, the backup point guard spot, and they've got a little bit of money to play with. You know, the Andre Robertson issue, I think, is going to delay things because, you know, you can't just like jump out there and commit a bunch of money in free agency, but without really knowing the future of that, because it could impact, you know, how they feel about Robertson and what number they're willing to go to. But I was told pretty emphatically tonight that the Thunder are going to remain aggressive in filling out this roster, and that they are not done, and that they want to push ahead. I don't know that necessarily means it's any like blockbuster move that like, you know, the Thunder are all of a sudden adding Kevin Love to the mix too. I don't think that that's necessarily happening, but I think that the roster is going to continue to change, and there's going to be some more pieces involved.
I think they're going to wait out the point guard market. I think they're going to be aggressive in other areas, but I think specifically with the point guard market, I think they're going to wait it out. There are a lot of good point guards out there, or at least a lot of serviceable point guards out there.
Right. Yeah, we're talking backup point guard here. I think, about Michael Carter-Williams today. Like Michael Carter-Williams, yeah, he's not a great player. Like we're talking about a backup point guard to Russell Westbrook. Like, you know, and it's one of many players that the Thunder would be interested in.
But I think they could potentially – There's not going to be such a big – like these. A lot of these point guards, once the first dominoes fall, I think a bunch of them aren't going to make a lot of money. And, like, look, it's not that hard for them to get an upgrade. Shelvin Mack is an upgrade. Beno Udrih is an upgrade. Like, those guys are going to wait around. Like, I think they're going to be able to wait it out until the second week of July on the point guard market and see if they can get something. If they can get one more shooter – and then be able to bring in another point guard on top of that, which I think is something they're going to be able to do. I still would be surprised if they used the full mid-level exception, unless it was for someone they just absolutely loved. Maybe they would use it for Rudy Gay. Maybe that's how they would plan on bringing in Rudy Gay, if it's someone they're really excited about. But I feel like there is a less than 50% chance they're going to use the mid-level, because I just don't think it's worth hard capping yourself when they've now got a bunch of salaries on the books. They've got Paul George at a high cap number. They've got Adams.
Presti loves to at least have some level of flexibility.
Right. Sam Presti is all about flexibility. And granted, getting Paul George with 1 year left on his deal is not a very Sam Presti move.
No, and that's to me, that's one of the more stunning aspects of it, is that it's just it goes against the status quo. Presti likes controllable players, but I think it also speaks to the fact of the kind of unknown waters that they've walked into. Westbrook is going to turn 29 this year. They have a window of opportunity here, and they're not just going to sit around on their hands and spoil it. You know, I think I'm a little surprised by the fact that this happened in this manner, just because, you know, there was a lot of talk postseason with people within the organization about like an upward trajectory and momentum going forward and an improving roster. But I wouldn't say this is a go for it move, because, I mean, everything is in the context of, are you better than the Warriors now? And the Thunder are not better than the Warriors today, but they are certainly a step closer. They're in the conversation for maybe being the second best team in the West, which is a far cry from where they were last year. So, I think that this is just something that Presti said, look, the risk here is being too conservative and playing it safe and being left with absolutely nothing. And instead of that, Presti he's always been proactive. He makes trades before it becomes a thing that you have to do. And this is what he did. He went and got Paul George.
Crazy how the West is taking form. I mean, Houston is better with Chris Paul.
Is there even going to be an East anymore?
the Warriors are the Warriors. The Spurs are the Spurs. They just got Patty Mills on a great contract.
The Wolves are looking like a 55-win team all of a sudden.
The Clippers have fallen, but like – If Hayward goes back to the Jazz, then the Jazz are really good. I mean,
call me crazy, but I think the Clippers are going to be like playoff level teams still. I think they're all right.
Well, losing Redick will be a big deal for them too.
Yeah, but I think they're – I mean, I think they'll be all right. Like you tweeted it out. I think people, assuming Blake stays healthy, people forget how good Blake Griffin was when he was like the focus of an offense. So I think that they'll be pretty good. I mean, I think they'll be
soft. I think he'll be great. I think they could be a 7 or 8 seed, but I don't think they're as good as the Thunder.
You want to – do I have time for a quick conspiracy theory that I really don't have any –
You have as much time as you want. I just thought we were leaving for you. You can stay on for another 10 minutes if you want.
Well, let me say this. So I don't think it was coincidental. This is just me just completely wildly speculating, but it's fun to do when we're talking NBA free agency. That, you know, word came out that Blake Griffin had canceled his meeting with Denver and Phoenix probably, what, I don't know, 20 minutes before the Paul George trade happened. And there was always talk that there was like kind of a, you know, the Blake Griffin, we were finding out who he had meetings scheduled with, but we didn't know the whole list, right? And you know he couldn't get something scheduled with Boston. My theory is that Oklahoma City was a true legit contender for Blake Griffin, and that the Paul George trade happened, which basically eliminated the Thunder from, you know, being able to sit down with Blake Griffin at that point. And so Blake just pulled the plug and went back to LA. That's my theory.
It's a hell of a theory.
That just all aligned. It aligned too perfectly for me.
It's a good theory.
There were a lot of people I knew that really thought that know Blake and that know his family, and they thought that it was a legit – that he would legitimately consider the Thunder.
My theory is that the Clippers caved, gave him a fifth year, and Blake said, ooh, $175 million. Give me that.
I don't ever I never thought Blake would actually leave. I think he's too perfect of a fit for L.A. You know, he's got kiddos out there.
It'll be cool to see Blake have his own team too. Like Blake is so good. Like he's an incredible passer.
Absolutely.
The second best passing big in the NBA, in my opinion, behind Draymond Green.
If you would have before Russell Westbrook did it a year and a half ago, if you would have said, "Give me a player that you think can average a triple double," I would have said Blake Griffin.
Yeah, he's an amazing, amazing passer and an amazing facilitator. Remember when Chris Paul got hurt in 2014?
Absolutely.
And the offense didn't even dip. He's so good running it out of the pinch post. In the last 30 games last year, he turned into a real three-point shooter, like high 30s% on three attempts a game in the final 30-some-odd games of the year. Like he's not the athlete that he was 5 years ago. There's no question. But he's more skilled. He's a significantly better shooter. He's actually a better defender. He had a pretty respectable defensive season. He's never going to be a great defender. He's probably never even going to be a very good defender. But he had a respectable defensive season last year. Just as a team defender, he always kind of struggled in pick and rolls, going to wrong spots, sometimes overcommitting, going up too high. And he kind of eliminated that in his game. He was much better recovering on pick and rolls, onto roll men and that kind of stuff. Like He is good enough to be the best player on a playoff team. And we saw him have a top three MVP season before. I think as long as he stays healthy, which maybe won't happen, like he might not even be ready for the start of the season this year. But once he comes back, I am excited to see what he can do as a number one offensive option, grabbing defensive rebounds. And he doesn't have to worry about kicking at Chris Paul anymore. He can just go coast to coast now.
Oh, let me ask you this, Fred. I've just thought of another thing. And I was thinking about tweeting it, but I'm going to workshop it with you just to make sure I'm not an idiot. Don't you think that this just eliminates any possibility of the Thunder trade Russell Westbrook this year? I mean, that we can agree on that, right? Like that was a conversation of like, if he doesn't sign the extension, maybe the Thunder shop Westbrook.
I'm gonna say there's like a, I'm gonna cover my ass and say there's like a 2% chance.
Right. But like, I mean, to me, it's like. That conversation that we were having a week ago where it's like if Westbrook turns it down.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. They've obviously gone all in.
Unless it just is a complete failure between Westbrook and George and it's gone south.
I'm gonna say there's no way they trade him this offseason.
I mean, like maybe you move him at the trade deadline together or something.
And then at the deadline, honestly, if you trade Paul George at the deadline, there is who knows? So many things happen, and you're only getting 2 months of Paul George. So many different things happen. But if they were to trade Paul George at the deadline, I feel like it's possible they could get more value than Oladipo and Sabonis.
I agree. I think somebody might have said that on TV tonight, Woj or Windhorse or somebody.
I think that's possible.
Yeah, I totally agree. Some team that's desperate. I mean, and so, like, you know, they're like –
I just trust Sam Presti. running that trade. I trust him doing it.
Let's use the Celtics. I mean, maybe Danny Ainge wouldn't do it out of pride, but like, let's say the Celtics are number one in the East and they like, they're really playing well and everything's coming together. And Presti's like, okay, give me Jason Tatum and the next year's Nets pick. Like, then they go for it. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. Can we take 30 seconds to disparage these real life Twitter eggs, whether they're like actual people on Twitter or, I don't know, random local talk show hosts who say Sam Presti hasn't made a trade in 3 months. Why is he dragging his feet? Why are there no reports?
Are you going to do something, Presti? You do something?
Sam Presti has now made 5 trades in the last 12 and a half months.
I think that if you look at his track record, I think in the last like 6 years, he's made more transactions than any other general manager.
He's made more trades. That's true. I don't know about transactions, but he has made more trades. Does Chris McCullough going up and down from the D-League with the Nets count? Because if that counts as a transaction, the Nets have done it.
Yeah, maybe it's just trades, but I know it's like, you know,
Presti. Yeah, no, it is trades. I mean, he's made 5 trades in the last 12 and a half months. And if you look at it.
And I think that's what happens is that like maybe fans get conditioned to the fact of like, here's the thing. And I've learned this over my time in this business. Fans love the idea of a trade. And then they ride the high of the trade when it happens. And then they come back down. And then a week from now, they're going to say, what are the Thunder going to do? Like, it's just the transactional fever of the NBA is like it just overwhelms people. And just the idea of adding a player and the conversation around that player. You know, so many people get mad, Fred, about just like the Thunder not being involved in rumors. Like, I don't see anything out there about the Thunder doing anything. It's like, this is why. Can you imagine if this trade had leaked out a week ago? The Thunder offering Victor Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis for Paul George? Like, it wouldn't have happened. So if you wonder why Sam Presti and his front office basically, you know, slam the door shut and don't say a single word to anybody about anything, it's so that they can try to complete trades like this.
Sam Presti is a plumber. He fixes every leak. There are no leaks.
That's so bad. That was
Well, in my defense, it's 2:40 in the morning and I haven't eaten since I had a
– Time's the Thunder's first summer league game.
5 p.m.
Got all day.
I had a chicken Caesar salad at the Houston airport at like 1 p.m. and I haven't eaten
chicken
since.
Chicken Caesar?
Mm, yeah, yep. I haven't eaten since. I got in and I was going to order a room service. I got in at like 9 or something. And then I see who was it? I think Ramona reported the Blake Griffin extension too. Mm-hmm. I see Ramona report the Blake Griffin extension. So I'm starting to write a newser on it. And then as I'm writing a newser on it, I was like, well, there's Paul George. I was like, wait, what? What just happened? So then I had to write on that, and then room service ended. Now I got nothing. So
I didn't even see. I didn't see the Ramona's tweet until minutes after somebody actually texted it to me. Actually, a player texted it to me and was like, "Paul George!" Exclamation point. And I thought it was like a joke. I was like, "What are you? You know, what are you talking about?" It was like a real thing. I was like, oh, "Okay, that's a thing that happened."
Yes, it is. And now I'm drinking probably like a $20 bottle of Panna water from the hotel to try to quench my hunger.
Nothing tastier than like a $34 bottle of Fiji. Hotel.
There you go. Anything else we got, Royce?
I don't think so, man. I got to get up at like 6 a.m. for TV, so I'm excited about that.
Well, enjoy. I'm getting up early too, so I don't miss any free agency stuff. I don't sleep in free agency.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of the idea, you know. Yeah,
you can't.
That's
really,
what August is for sleep.
Yeah, you can't really sleep. Well, thank you for coming on, man.
You bet.
Fun like late night podcasting. This is one of the few opportunities I've gotten to text someone you up ? At 1:30 in the morning and not felt at all like a creep.
You should feel a little creepy.
Well, maybe I should, but I don't. Okay, let's
enjoy Domas and enjoy the Domantas Sabonis-less Thunder.
Does Indiana play Orlando Summer League?
I don't know. Yeah, because would he just transition over to the? I think they do. I think they do play Orlando Summer League.
So is he just going to show up with the Pacers tomorrow? Is he on their Summer League team?
We're speaking up.
He's not, because they have to. They have to like.
Yeah, the trade can't be complete.
Not official.
Yeah, until July 6th.
So, but he's not going to play with the Thunder.
Right, obviously, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was like, remember when Wiggins played for the Cavs?
Yeah.
Because they couldn't do the Kevin Love trade until like August, but everyone knew they were trading him for Kevin Love.
But like with this, like you got to put Oladipo and Sabonis in like cryo chambers and like make sure that they don't like hurt themselves.
Yeah. I don't know. Oladipo's been working hard. Yeah. Someone, one of my buddies texted to me, like, I'm sure like your phone blows up with text from your, you know, from not just like work text, but like people from your, like your friends and stuff being like, whoa. One of my buddies is like a big basketball fan, not a Thunder fan, Knicks fan, but texted me, man, if this is what you get for tweeting in relation to Oladipo, if this is what you get for Instagramming photos of your new abs, I'm never working out again.
That's what it sold Kevin Pritchard. He was like, look
that's
at
what it was. It was like, look at those abs. Incredible.
I was gonna also tell you, though, like when I was texting about Domantas Sabonis, Domas autocorrected in my phone as Donald. And the person responded of like, good old Don Sabonis. Don Sabonis.
Sabonis on my computer always autocorrects to Sabots.
Don Sabots.
Oh, Don Sabots. I'm not going to have any more Sabots moments. I guess
probably like a baseball card you'd have from like 1974, like a middle reliever. Old Don Sabots.
I think a Sabot is a type of wooden shoe.
All right.
Yeah. Let's end it on that.
All right, good. Good podcast.
All right, you can follow Royce at Royce Young. I assume if you're a listener of this podcast, you probably already do. Thunder, acquire Paul George for Victor Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis. I don't know why I'm recapping it like that right now. You just listened to a whole podcast about
45 minutes in. If you hadn't heard yet.
Yeah, if you haven't heard. If you fast-forwarded through the whole thing in some horrible effort to try to avoid the lack of advertising on here. If you just came for the commercials and you fast forward to try to find those, then I'm sorry that there are no commercials. Anyway, don't forget Paul George. Big day for the Thunder. I'm going to be back on Monday. You can subscribe to Locked On Thunder on iTunes. You can follow all my work on normantranscript.com/sports/Thunder Road. You can see everything there. Follow me on Twitter at Fred Katz, FredKatz. And I'm going to have lots of Paul George stuff up on Thunder Road. And if you're a Norman Transcript subscriber, then you can get those in the paper as well. So big day for the Thunder, Royce. Big day for the NBA. I mean, it's crazy. This is just we're not even.
Free agency is fun.
We're only a few. All this happened. Like so much stuff has happened even before free agency even started. Like it's just it's crazy with all this stuff that's going down. And you know what? July 1st is meaningless. Jeff Teague comes to an agreement with another team at 12:01. Like, come on,
I know.
Come on. Like these meetings, these 12:01 meetings, like. How are you setting up a meeting if there's – we set up a meeting for 12:01, but we didn't actually contact.
But, Fred, they have not spoken to each other because that would be tampering, and that's not the way the NBA works.
And then 12:01 comes along. Jeff Teague is signed to this exact contract with these exact details. Come on. I sound like Job, a $6,000 suit. Come on. All right. Let's end it. This is good night, Royce. Thank you for coming on for the emergency.
Paul George to the Thunder. Paul, if you missed it, Paul George to the Thunder.
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention that. Paul George went to the Thunder. Good deal. All right, good night, Royce.
Yeah.